Welcome to Hammer Dad!
Dad!
Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs. Pat will be joining us in a little bit. The Canadian sensation, the nuke man himself, Bubba Gumpino, looking great today. How are you?
How we doing, Tony?
Great. And on the FaceTime, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod. Subscribe to the Daily Coach, Michael Lombardi. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys today? How are things? We all ready to go for the big game, huh?
I think so. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. How are you feeling? Have you learned anything this week since we talked on Monday for the big game?
You know, I just been going through it, and I think that, you know, it's just when you look at how good the Chiefs have played all year, I wrote a column on Tuesday for The Athletic. I mean, over the last 27 games, they're 26-1, really. The only game they lost was to the Chargers that they wanted to lose.
Correct.
And the more I study it, the more I feel like you got to play perfect to beat them. You can't have a missed opportunity. You can't have the ball swing in the flat to Singletary and he drops it. You know, he could have run for miles.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm having a very, very hard time. And I could already say this now. I'm not going to pick against the Chiefs.
Smart.
No, back and forth on it. I think it would have been a slam dunk for me to pick the Chiefs if Fisher and Schwartz were playing. But I think that even as I rectify that with Andy Reid, the Andy Reid voice in my head makes me think he'll work around that.
Yeah, he was asked about it a bunch this week. He's plenty aware of it. I think Andy has no problem. Pat has no problem with getting the ball out quickly. Especially because they probably going to do that anyways with the skill on the D line of the Bucs.
Well, I mean, look, he's going to watch LaFleur, right? He's going to the first tape he put on Monday morning in his office. He watched Green Bay play. He watched Green Bay play Tampa, and he watched what LaFleur did, and he watched Jason Pierre-Paul ruin the game. He watched Shaq Barrett ruin the game for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, really, at the end of the day, their inability, for all the mistakes they've made, the one that never gets talked about is LaFleur not helping his tackles out in the game, not allowing them to have chips and work his offense around them. I mean, the fact that, you know, Rodgers was sacked 5 times in that game as much as he moves – you know, was really a partly on the inability of LaFleur to adjust his game plan. So Reid watched that tape. I mean, he knows that his two tackles aren't as good as the two tackles that were getting their asses kicked in that game. So he's got to do something to help him. That's what coaches do.
Yeah, and I believe Andy will for sure learn from that. Mike, before we get into the game a little bit more, have you seen that there has been everyone – from New England and the Patriots seems like has an opinion this week on Bill and Tom?
Yeah, I think part of it too is I think what we don't separate, which I don't think a lot of people really understand, is so there's Bill the coach and Bill the GM. And a lot of the anger that I hear toward from like Danny Amendola and from other players, it's directed towards the payment. It's like, you know, I had to work and I got my pay cut twice, you know, all that stuff. I think it's Bill the GM is what they're probably angry at as opposed to Bill the coach. For me, it's just part of the business we're in. I mean, when somebody's on top, you're going to get taken shots at when you're on down. You know, he didn't take, you know, look, I like Danny Amendola. He was a really good player, won a Super Bowl with him. But I think some of his comments were really not really fair, especially considering that there was a lot of time that Danny could have just been a free agent and the market wasn't willing to pay him either.
Mm-hmm. And then Bruschi came out today. Did you hear him say that Stafford wasn't tough enough to play in New England anyways?
Well, I mean, look, you know, it does require a certain player to go into the elements. I mean, that's the interesting thing about the Goff trade that no one talks about is Jared Goff is going to go play in Chicago probably in the winter, Green Bay in the winter. I mean, he wants a table for two near the heaters. You know, remember that scene in Goodfellas where a guy comes in and you know, he goes through the back of the kitchen and they go all the way through and he says hello. Yep. And then when he gets to the thing, a guy puts a table right in front of it, you know, just makes that's Goff looking for the heaters.
I couldn't agree more. So as far as the props, I wanted to ask you a little bit. So in the last 10 Super Bowls, all 10 coaches have deferred. Arians took the ball in week 16 and 17. Do you think either there's a chance either of these coaches take the ball or defer? Because then that leads into first.
If he loses the toss, I think he needs to take the ball.
Bruce does.
I think if he wins the toss, he needs to take the ball. Because I think he needs to play from in front. And I also think that he's got to figure out a way to get an extra possession in the game. Whether it's an onside kick, whether it's a fake punt, whatever it is, he's got to figure out a way to gain an extra possession.
So then, if you think that, and Andy Reid is most likely going to defer, which means the Bucs would be getting the ball first either way, so then you could start making your bets on which team scores first down, stuff like that. Is that what you're saying?
I think yes. If you're Bruce Arians and you take the ball, then you know you have 10 plays that are really good that you're going to run, and you're going to take it, and you're going to be able to get the ball in the end zone because you're taking that ball to be up 7-0. And once again, like the Carolina game, Carolina went 15 plays. They had a 4th-and-2 at the Chiefs 9-yard line. They threw it. They touchdown. They got up 7-0. That's the way you got it. You got to play this game from in front, and you got to hold serve. You got to hold serve. You got to definitely hold serve in the first half, but in the second half. But you have to hold serve in the first half.
Pat, he's saying that he thinks Bruce should and most likely will take it first. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, Bruce Arians, I think, very aggressive guy. Yeah. The offense, let's go out there and do it. Now, obviously, there's a train of thought of let's defer so then we can, you know, middle eight there, we can kind of dominate. But for me, the only thing I'm thinking of is that means Butker's probably kicking off. Butker's got a big leg. That's potential. The conversation you guys just had right there is probably the same one the sports book had. It was like, hey, Chiefs are probably kicking off here, and this son of a bitch can bomb a ball. And now I'm a little conflicted.
Yeah, so that's open.
I have to ask you, when you were getting ready to play in New Orleans, right, you were at the Colts at New Orleans, right?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Okay, so did you think they were going to onside kick at any point in that game?
No. They're especially coming out of halftime. They had a rookie, by the way, Thomas Morstead. So me and Thomas Morstead, both rookie punters in the game, both kicked off as well. I mean, that's a massive call to put on a rookie. You know what I mean? Like that is, and it was executed, kicked perfectly by Thomas. But yeah, I don't think we had any thought of it. We had to lead, what, 10-6 at halftime, I think we had. I was just watching highlights, obviously, of the failures, but you know what I mean? Yeah, no, never had that thought.
But there was no conversation about, like, because, you know, when I was thinking about that game, you know, you knew Sean needed an extra possession somewhere. It's the same thing, I think, in this game. This is not disrespectful to Tampa's defense. It's just, how do I gain an extra possession somewhere in the game? Do I onside kick it? Do I fake punt it? I mean, Houston tried a fake punt that kind of blew up in their face. But, you know, if I were Kansas City, I would be on alert for the onside kick almost all the time.
Very interesting you say that because fake punts, you know, fake field goal, fake punt, always almost in safe whenever we had Peyton in that offense, right? Always almost in safe. Like, hey, the returner, your job is basically just fair catch that thing, okay? Don't let it hit the ground. Don't let it bounce too far. We're not going to try to block it. We're not going to get any penalties, but we're going to make sure they punt it. Let's get the ball back into the offense's hands. But I don't remember any, like, hey, a onside kick is coming. It's very fascinating that you asked that question because going into the game, you would think that's potentially something we prepare for, which is what you guys did up in New England, two-point conversions. We might need this. We might need this. And I don't remember. I wish I do remember because that would be something that a very high football IQ team would be doing, you think.
Michael and Pat was talking about the Bucker because the kicking prop for no touchback is yes minus 310 because Pat said Bucker has what probably the strongest leg in the league right now.
Strongest leg I think I've ever maybe ever existed.
And no
stronger than Sebastian's, Pat? Stronger than Sebastian's?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Just strictly this, okay? So I've been clocked kicking a soccer ball 124 miles an hour, okay? I have broken somebody's arm with a soccer ball before. I have moved, like the old stories about Janikowski where he would hit a soccer ball off the crossbar and the net would move. I have done all those things. I spent a lot of time kicking the ball. I was kicking 70-yard field goals as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, you know, 75-yard field goal I've kicked before. The thought of watching some film on Butker. He had a kickoff like 90 some yards or something like that. So I don't know if his leg, raw strength, okay, there's a few of us, and I'm putting myself in there. I think Janikowski would even put me in there. Janikowski's one of those guys. I was one of those raw strength guys. I wasn't really tall or flexible. Yeah, Justin Tucker has an absolute cannon. But Butker, his form seems to be just like perfect, and his leg is incredibly strong, and he fucking murders footballs. Now granted, will he do it in the Super Bowl? There's a couple games this year where he didn't hit him as clean, but he slaughters footballs. It is unbelievable to watch. His form is like perfect with the strength and everything like that. You know what I mean? It's kind of a different, instead of like the raw strength. You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, did you know this about this kid coming out of college? Did you know him at all?
I had no clue who he was, and I hadn't been going to camps either then. Like, there's this one camp that Jamie Cole runs, and everybody goes to it. It's at Whitewater, University of Wisconsin, uh-huh. Whitewater, and everybody used to go to it. All the NFL punters and kickers would go, and I would punt and kick against people, and I would have fun, and I'd enjoy it. And, you know, I think everybody that would ever go there would be like, yeah, dude's leg was very strong or whatever. Now, for kicking, I didn't always have a clue where it was going, but I kicked that son of a bitch a long way or whatever, you know? I did not know about Butker, but that same guy, Jamie Cole, he sent me some film, and he was like, watch this film of this guy, because I enjoy watching like big balls. Like, I enjoy it a lot. Like, Marquette used to hit these monster punts every once. Like, he would hit these huge balls. Guys would hit these monster punts. Like, I enjoy that as a ball kicker. He sent me the film of this of Butker, and just like slow mo, and then he had to yard. I forget what it was. It might have been like 93 yards. Jesus. Or something. Like, it was the biggest. There was a guy named Brett something who used to play for the Houston Texans. He blew his knee out on the field, sued the Houston Texans. I forget his name. He was a kickoff specialist. He used to fucking just, the balls would go so far. So there's a couple dudes. Butker's, in my eyes, though, maybe the biggest ball hitter I've ever seen in my life.
So
he's 5 for 5 outside of 50 in his regular season. The only two kicks he missed all year was inside of 40. I mean, from the 49 to the 40. It's really remarkable.
Hey, rookie holder.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Rookie holder is an interesting. Tommy Townsend, he's been a great punter, really long hair. But and this is not from Butker talking to me or anybody talking to me. But it was like Mason Crosby the year that I went and called the Lions-Packers game. Mason Crosby had a bunch of misses. And they were like, oh, he's old. He can't do it anymore. And then I was forced to watch film of their special teams. Not that I didn't. I never did that. And then I called that game. I was forced to watch film of special teams. And the holds, just whether it's off a little bit or leaning a different way or spinning a little bit or something like that, there's a lot of things that a hold can kind of affect. I could make a kick for Vinatieri at a point, I thought, and I could miss a kick for him very easily if I wanted to. And that takes a little bit to get there. I'm not saying Tommy's a bad holder, but Dustin Colquitt was like, I mean, he was around for 17 years. He's like one of the best. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that could account for some of his misses, especially extra points. When you're scoring that much and you have that many extra points, inevitably there's a chance maybe he missed, but also maybe the entire operation was kind of fucking him a little bit too.
For the touchbacks, I just looked it up. Tampa is number 2 in the league at 84% of their kicks are touchbacks. Kansas City's number 4 at 75% of their kicks are touchbacks.
Yeah, he kicks, 7,000 times if he wants to in a game.
And at home, Tampa Bay is 93% on touchbacks.
Yeah.
He put that one in Vegas. He put it in the fifth row.
The thing you got to think about that is with the rules right now, touchback, ball at the 25.
Yeah.
Like, ball's 2 yards deep. It is touchback now. 3 yards deep is a touchback now. And I benefited from that more than anybody else because we played the hands team every time I kicked off. So even if I hit a bad ball and it went one deep, there was no return setup because 8 people had to be within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage because we were potentially going to kick a surprise onside kick. But with that ball, that 2 yard, 3 yard, 5 yard deep even one, that's probably at the goal line, the 1, the 2, the 3, because it's taken at least 5 yards off the ball. That's why if Butker's kicking it, which we all think is going to, there's a chance that he's going to kick it maybe through the uprights, and there's a chance that thing's 1 yard deep now instead of 6 yards deep, 7 yards deep, which is a guaranteed touchback. So, I mean, there's a lot. In this, normally, I would say, hey, this is not going to be a touchback, but Butker is a fucking, I have a lot more respect after watching a video of him.
Do you think they'll have their hands team out there when Butker? Because for me, if there was ever a team that should onside kick at least once a game, because field position doesn't matter to the Chiefs. It's really the Chiefs. Like, if we don't miss, get this onside kick, you get the ball at the 50, maybe you score, maybe you don't, we'll be right back in the game anyway. Like, it doesn't really matter.
The new rules, though, force everybody to
possession. If we get that, we got your ass.
Yeah, the new rules are basically the hands team. Eight players have to be within fucking 25 yards of the ball or whatever. So it's basically a hands team. That's why you see so many more touchbacks, less returns, because you can't just set up a wedge back there. You have to have a lot of running. It's more open like punting because of Dr. Will Smith and the concussions.
By the way, I was just looking through some of the kicking props. Will an extra point or field goal attempt hit an upright? Yes, plus 450. No, minus 750.
That is a delicious bet. Plus 450 there. Yeah. Just a little trail, right?
Yeah,
just a doink.
And there's those there's those breezes. I mean, there's some wind down there. And like you said, Pat, these balls will be brand new, right?
Just the opening kickoff ball. Because that goes straight to the Hall of Fame, Mike. So the opening kickoff ball that I kicked in the Super Bowl was the worst ball I've ever kicked in any game I've ever played. High school, college, NFL, worst ball. It was just brand new. And by worst, I mean for a kicker, from a kicker standpoint. And in college, we had a little bit softer ball for Pat. Those balls were terrible to kick. It was nothing compared to the brick that I picked up at the Super Bowl. And I come to my sideline to the equipment guy, Frog, and I asked him, I'm like, what the fuck happened out there? He's like, hey, bud, they don't let us touch the ball. Normally, the equipment managers get like 30 minutes with the ball with the NFL watching, and they can beat the shit out of it. Frog would come out sweaty, you know what I mean? He would help us out a lot. The other equipment manager would go in. Sometimes the kickers and punters before the game would talk like, hey, how's your guy breaking in balls? You know, like, our guy's good. They're like, our guy's bad, so just have your guy go or whatever. that is a real conversation that happens. With that kickoff ball, they're not allowed to touch it because that thing is going to be nice because it's going straight to the Hall of Fame. It's interesting. It's fucking interesting, Mike. If Bucker's not kicking off next Super Bowl, something to think about. It's not going to be a touchback.
How about this? Any punt to be downed on or inside the 5-yard line? Yes, plus 50, 550. No, minus 1,000.
You got to start looking at like the opinion.
Depends on the grass, doesn't it? I mean, like the slickness of the grass there.
Yeah, the touch. Also the gunners. You know, who's playing gunner? Who's going to go get it? Pinion, I think, has pretty good touch. I'm not 100% sure. Tommy, I think.
But also, how many punts are going to be?
Yeah, that.
And how many punts are going to be?
What are the over-under on punts? I would say the over is going to hit.
Let me look at it.
I think Super Bowl people get tight, don't they, Mike? Because there's a chance to make a play, but oh my God, there's a chance it's going to get turned over. I don't want to do that, right?
But I think going into this game, if you play it conservative, you rely. I think you set it up for them to beat you. I think you got to take the same approach Carolina did. I mean, if it's 4th and 15, you're going to have to punt it, right? I get that, but you got to be able to take chances. I think you, if it's 4th and 2, no. If say you have a chance at a 47-yard field goal on 4th and 2, or go for it. I'm going for it.
6.5 is the over/under on punts.
How many for Kansas City?
Let me look here.
10 out of the last 18 Super Bowls, the first drive has been a punt.
It's a little bit over half if I did the math right.
4 field goals, 2 interceptions, 1 safety, 1 touchdown.
Oh, that safety. What was the story? Who told the story? That was you, Mike.
Mike, right? I believe I heard it on VSiN when I was listening that the sportsbook manager for when Fertitta owned whatever hotel or sportsbook it was, after Seattle got the safety to open the game, the sportsbook manager had to go to Fertitta and say, hey, we have zero chance of making any money tonight.
Oh my God. What game was that? We didn't get a safety in the Seattle
Broncos Seattle. Over Manning's head to start the game.
Yeah.
Was there ever a sign of how a game was going to go than that?
Yeah. That was, and that's what I think, you know, that was a 15-1 team that went against a defense that was just, you know, if it would have been any other defense, we would have beaten them in that championship game in Denver. And, you know, we still had a chance at the end of the game. Tom threw it, you know, we ran the same play. We scored the touchdown with Gronk, and we ran it to the other side, and he didn't see Gronk, and we would have tied the game and sent it to overtime.
There was a couple drives in that game, wasn't there, Mike, near the end?
We had no running back in that year. Yeah. We lost Deion Lewis middle of the season. It really killed us.
Hey,
then we had back.
Hey, Gronk to score a touchdown plus 340. That feels very good.
It does. I mean, I think he's going to be a factor in this game.
Me too.
He's got to be.
And Tom's guy.
Yeah.
And he's Tom's guy. And Sorensen can't cover him. I mean, remember the game when New England went and beat them there? The three third downs, Gronk ran slant, fade. You know, I mean, they can't cover the big fellow when he's out there. If you want to play all that man-to-man, you got to match up to him.
He's so good at football, man, Gronk.
Yeah, he's a Clydesdale.
He's a Clydesdale that has the nimbility of a ninja.
I wonder if he
makes no sense how he does what he does. It really doesn't.
He's a Clydesdale with basically two toilet seats for hands. But he wears those white gloves. It looks like – I would go out in the football field and say, like, it looks like he's carrying two toilet seats.
Clydesdale with the nimbility of a ninja carrying two toilet seats.
I mean, that graphic.
You said something earlier, Mike, that got a good pop out of the office, by the way, and you didn't get to hear it. It was at the beginning of the show. You said Jared Goff is a table for two near the heaters. That is fucking hysterical.
It's true. Pat, what's he going to do when he goes into Lambeau Field on December the 15th next year? They're going to have to get him a table for two right near the bottle of Chianti, one of those Italian red checkered tablecloths in front of it.
Dan Campbell at the helm, Mike.
Huh?
Not with Dan Campbell at the helm.
I mean, come on. He's going to freeze his ass off. Then he goes to Chicago, Soldier Field. It's like Ocean City. You know, it says it's 45 here today, right? But fuck, Ocean City, when it's 45, there's a 15-mile-an-hour wind coming off the ocean. So that 45 is really 31. You know, it's freezing. That's Soldier Field. Oh, it's 40 today, Jared. It's not too bad. Oh, give me a
Hey, shout out to Ocean City Fire Department, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they did a hell of a job on that boardwalk, Pat. If that fire would have been the day before, we had really bad winds the day before. If that fire would have been the day before, boardwalk might all come down.
Oh, my God. That's happened before, hasn't it?
Hopefully you got your popcorn. I heard that.
I just got it, Mike.
Hey, just popped the popcorn. We had the popcorn. The popcorn was hidden in a stack of boxes, but we got the popcorn.
The Lombo corn made it.
That did not get burnt. The popcorn's still toasted.
I just wanted to mention a few other bets that I've heard this week before we move on. 8 of the last 10 Super Bowls, first team to score wins the game.
Wow.
4 straight years, there has been no points in the first 6 minutes. Something you could bet on there.
Tony Unders.
A little tight.
18-1. On an 18-1 run, that there's a touchdown less than 3.5 yards. 17-2 to the under of currently 46.5 first downs. What do you think about that, Mike?
Say that again.
17-2 run on the under of first downs. The number for this Super Bowl is 46.5.
Well, I think for Tampa to win, they need 25. So if they win, Kansas City will have at least 21. Well, sometimes Kansas City doesn't get that many because they just get one for the big play they make. I would lean a little towards the over. God, they set those numbers so perfectly, don't they? It's amazing how they do that, isn't it?
That's why they have chandeliers, Mike.
They're time travelers, Mike. They're time travelers.
I love it. Hey, how about when – have you heard this one, Diggs, when they combine sports together? This is what I heard, right? That you bet in Joel Embiid to score more points against Sacramento on Tuesday night than the Bucks will score.
There's one, Mike. It's will this game end in a scoregami on FanDuel right now,
which is a score that's never happened in the NFL.
What are the odds on that?
Like they'll do like if the Pens are playing on Sunday, they'll do what is higher, Sidney Crosby shots on goal versus Kansas City punts or something like that. Well, yeah, I do enjoy those very much.
Well, Sidney Crosby shots on goal, by the way. Safe bet.
A couple other where 17-2. I said 8 of the last 10 first to score wins. 17-2, team that scores last wins. Also, it's on a 17-2 run on the under 2.5 players to complete a pass.
Tampa Bay's going to throw one.
Yeah. Will they complete it?
Scotty Miller's catching a deep ball from somebody. Antonio Brown?
Is AB going to play?
Yeah, I think so.
because that affects Scotty Miller props, the other rookie wide receiver props whose name is slipping my mind right now.
You mean Godwin?
No.
I like that Tyler Johnson prop.
There it is. Thank you.
What's his name?
Tyler Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah. What's that prop? I like that one, even if any of these guys play.
Evans is the most bet on for first touchdown of the game.
What's Tyler Johnson got to do to get? I think he's at 10 and a half yards.
Pulling it up right now.
Probably go the over on that, you're saying, huh?
Yeah.
I don't mind the last play of the game not to be a quarterback. Neil is plus 140.
Yeah, let's make this thing interesting all the way to the end, you know?
Yeah, but you know what, Gump? I was thinking about that. We talked about that on my show today. You know, how many games have you seen Kansas City's offense run the game out?
Yeah. It's only minus 180 for it to be a Neil. That's the only reason, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't bet that.
FanDuel does not seeing Tyler Johnson yet. It will.
How about Xander Schauffele plus 500 over there at the PGA Tour? I just saw that.
That's a good prop. I mean, you want to talk golf? I think the three players you got to play out there I had Xander on my as one of my plays on my show yesterday. I liked him and Rory McIlroy. Where's Rory today?
Rory is. I just put a bet in plus 2200.
Waste Management Open.
Who wouldn't want to be at the Waste Management Open? I mean, seriously.
Well, right now nobody's there, I don't think. But I do understand what you're. Are people there?
There's like 5,000.
No, not. But I mean, it's one of the best. It's incredible that it's right there at the Scottsdale Princess. It's an incredible venue.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Schauffele is tied for fifth at minus 5. The leader's at minus 8. I don't know. I'm not seeing roars.
Who's the leader, Rom?
No, Neesmith.
Okay, everybody was getting a ton of. Rom was getting a ton of action.
Hey, do you talk to the people at your sports books you go to, and do they account for Gumpy whenever they're talking soccer betting?
They're a little concerned. I mean, Thomas Gable, the guy who runs the Borgata Sportsbook in Atlantic City, he's got a picture of Gump in his office. he's fully aware of his soccer plays. I got my man Bill Berman, who lives around the corner from me here. He's taking all of Gump's soccer plays.
We got a bunch of my old teammates are like, hey, I have no idea who he is or what he does, and I won't watch soccer, but that Canadian guy is an ATM when it comes to betting on
shit. It's like I can't even pronounce the cities that they're playing in or the teams, and he's dinging the ding ding, and he's ringing the bell. He's like Kramer when he stole that bus. Ring the bell.
He's Batman.
He's Batman.
Mike, before we let you out of here, do you have any NBA or college you like tonight?
Tonight, we've been debating this on my show because I'm a Sixer fan. I mean, Portland's not – I don't know if Embiid's playing tonight. That line shot up because Lillard's not going to play. So Lillard's out. Embiid's probable. They say he's going to play. So that went up from – that shot up from 8.5. It went right to 10. I think that's too heavy, 10, the way the Sixers coming off a back-to-back. But, you know, that's the one. I love Memphis Grizzlies tonight. That's the one. It went from 1 to 3.5.
All right, Mike's on the Memphis. Anything in college?
No, I didn't have anything on college today.
Okay.
I mean, although, you know, the one line I would say, I don't have anything on college, and I jump into it. I think the Iowa-Ohio State line's a little heavy. I think Iowa, you know, I think Ohio State will play them tough.
Me too, Mike. They are, I believe they're 5-1 on the road as a dog, which they are in that spot tonight. But I did see before we walked in here, their team bus got stuck today and had to be shoveled out of the snow. So I don't know if they're showing up on time. Or
If that's under 5, I like Iowa there, minus 4.5.
Yeah, tonight I got Ohio State.
Wait. We make money off of this. Yeah. Hold on.
I apologize, boys. Mike likes the Memphis Grizzlies. He thinks Ohio State's a little heavy at 5.5, which I agree. I'm going to take Ohio State plus the 5.5. Gumpy, what do you like tonight, NCAA?
And then Bryant minus 5.5 at home against St. Mary's.
Yep, I was on that.
Austin Peay getting 2.5 at Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, you piece of shit.
Couple home dogs here. Temple plus 2.5 against Cincinnati. Fuck. Wyoming getting 8 against Colorado State.
7.5 is still good?
Yeah. And Southeast Missouri minus 4.5 at home to Tennessee Tech.
Gumpy, we disagree on Colorado State and Eastern Kentucky.
Fair enough.
I also have the Ohio State plus 5.5. The Rutgers minus 5.5.
You're on Rutgers.
Arizona. Stanford.
What about Montana at Portland State? You got that?
I don't. Love Morehead State, though. I think Morehead State might be my play of the night.
How do y'all motherfuckers, you don't do this. You don't watch these games. I refuse to believe that you guys watch these games.
Gumpy does, but why do you have to watch them?
No, I watch these games.
You're watching Southeast Missouri State
What
right
else
now?
Am I doing, dude? I'm either in the Oculus now or watching college basketball.
Oh, by the way, look out for his potential basketball picks to get back.
Where are you going to watch all these games, Gump?
So I'll have like the main game on the TV, and then I'll usually pull out the TV from the bedroom, set up a stream on there, and then the computer next to me on the couch.
That's awesome.
When I would go to the combine at Indy, I'd find some sports bar and I'd go watch Sixer games in there. They had that. Remember, Pat? They had that. It was an Irish pub. When you came out of Nordstrom's, like I would never go outside. It was Killian's.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like golf. I got the big table right in front of the screen. I watched my Sixer games.
I'd rather watch college basketball than NBA right now at this point of the season because these teams are fighting to try and make the tournament, right?
Yeah. And Pat, to answer your question, I don't watch any of them. But I just need the numbers.
Well, you got a wife at home, too.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate it, Mike. Jeez.
Thanks, guys. Hey. Talk tomorrow. We'll make them. Thanks.
All the picks tomorrow.
I bet, Mike. Jeez.
Hey, he gets out. Have you ever seen somebody?
No. Nick, you got picks tonight?
Oh, all of them. Let's go, Nick.
Kansas City down to -168 money line.
It's going to keep coming down.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the spread, but I am fucking hammering Chiefs money
line. If it gets down to -150, it's all in.
Yeah. All the chips.
Oh, all of the chips.
All of the chips.
Everybody's saying that, though. Does that not scare you a little bit?
Not at all. I was on the other side last year. The 49ers.
I was on the 49ers last year. Yeah. Well, and for three quarters, it was great.
I felt very good.
2010.
I was sweating a little bit. I was on Chiefs.
And then 21 unanswered in the fourth.
If Jimmy G hits that one ball.
That's it.
Before the half.
I think if Jimmy G hits that long ball, the Chiefs still come back and win.
I do.
Oh, you're talking about at the end of the game?
Yeah,
because they still had, a minute and a half or whatever.
What was it, 7 yards, by the way, he was off there? And then all the conversation was, is Tom Brady going to be the Niners? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Nick, what do you got?
I'm going Florida money line.
Nick, hold on, please.
Nicky Skates.
Nick, mm-hmm. I have a question.
I'm listening.
Nick.
Shoot.
Gumpy just told us he watches every single college basketball game. There's 120 of them a night. Is that the same type of dedication we're getting from you? Are you watching all these hockey games in the NHL?
What do you think, Pat?
Of course you are.
Absolutely not.
Oh!
I watch one, maybe two games a night. You just can't process any more information than that. Gumpy's full of shit.
I agree. I asked him very loudly. I actually yelled at him and said there's no way he did it, but he told me he does do it.
You know I do.
You know he does.
Anybody FaceTimes me, you see what I'm doing.
You know what he does, dude.
Tennessee Tech, dude.
Southeast Missouri State, he said.
I took Southeast Missouri there. Come on.
Is that the same game there?
Yeah.
I'm pretty pumped up about that. Because it made it sound like I knew what I was talking about. I did not. That was the most ridiculous one I heard whenever you dropped in a Southeast Missouri state. I'm like, you're watching all these? This is unbelievable.
Montana money line.
These are trade schools. Thing. They're teaching plumbing and welding at these schools.
That's why they relate to me.
Hey, Montana, by the way, the Montanimals do not fuck around.
No.
Go ahead, Nick.
Sorry, Nick.
No, you're good. We're going Florida Panthers money line, -115. You can also sprinkle some on the over if you're feeling frisky at 1.5.5. Montreal at home against Ottawa. The odds are just too much to take Montreal money line. So, but the over at 6.5 is nice and juicy at +100 if you think Montreal's just going to blow them out of the water. And maybe Ottawa can squeak in one or two to help you out.
Ottawa lost like 7 or 8 by 2+.
8 in a row, yeah.
By 2+ goals.
I don't know about 2+, but they've definitely lost 8 in a row, and none of the games have been particularly close. So,
Ottawa stinks, dude.
Very bad.
Got bad. Matt Murray
in. Yeah, that's where Matt Murray's at.
Oh, that son of a bitch. Why'd he let that thing go ahead and ooze into Jari's blood?
He really did. He really just let it eke all and ooze all over him. Washington, -105 against the Rangers in the over there at 6, -120.
Rangers. I'm making this a parlay, by the way.
Before you move on, I have Ottawa's. They lost 4-2, 8-5, 4-1, 5-1, 7-1, 6-3, 4-1, and then 4-3 and 3-2.
Yeah, and Montreal's been scoring nonstop. You're really just banking on that to continue. And like I said, Ottawa to maybe get one or two past Price and just, you
know, they're just dumping them out over there?
Yeah, they stink. This next one, if you're feeling frisky, only if you're feeling frisky, Vancouver plus 151 at Toronto. I saw a couple models leaning this way.
The Canucks. Models?
Yeah, leaning towards the Canucks. I said, I like where that's going. I'll jump on
Tim
board
Tebow?
That.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you mean male models?
What were their names?
What? Boys, these are algorithms.
Model. Bro, nobody knows the fucking algorithm. What model are you talking about back there? It's
Nicky Skate's hottest hockey bettor on the planet right
he
now.
He is very hot right now. You're right. Huh? Hey, listen, whatever you're doing, do your thing you're doing, but what models are you following? Do you have your own models? Are you
cutting code? I didn't build them myself. I've just been doing hours and hours of research.
That's what you got to do. Gumpy's doing it right now.
Yeah, I just say things Gump says and it makes me feel better about myself.
Hey, you're doing well hockey betting, Noah.
Thank you.
He's on fire.
Stars for you, Gump.
There we go.
Minus 120. Stars money line. They're playing at Columbus.
Columbus stinks.
Fucking Pavelski to score a goal.
You can also take the over in that Vancouver-Toronto game at 6.5. And it will go St. Louis at home against Arizona. Money line favorite in the under in that game. Under 5.5.
Now, that is minus 172, and people are going to talk about that. But I would like to let you know, if you parlay those together... Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you really...
Yeah, spend money and make money, my friend.
Gotta spend money.
Also, you know, home favorites are hitting.
Big time.
Rapidly.
Real big time.
I have so many parlays I've already bet. Patty parlays over here, dude.
Double
so D. I have 45 parlays right now going. What is... I mean, this is absurd.
Hey, spend money to make money,
this
man.
This fucking show is the most expensive thing I've ever encountered. I want to let you know.
Especially now when we're just rattling off.
It's a winning show. Like, it's a winning show.
I'm not.
Well, it's kind of how I keep up with how you guys do. You know, like that's kind of how I.
The record's reset, by the way, on Monday after the Super Bowl.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about? I thought it was a yearly thing.
Well, I mean, we have.
There's just football records.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There's just NFL.
But that's one particular rating that'll go into the overall rating.
So you're saying the record resets when the season's over?
The football record.
Well said.
I like the sounds of that.
I'm not sure exactly what I said.
That's what you said. You're in the lead to it. It's the right thing to do. And I was going to fight it a little bit, but I realize I'm in positive as well. So
yeah, we
I might as well
store that.
Might as well lock that one down.
It's late. Tomorrow we'll be back with all of the prop bets that we want. I'm going to have quite a few. Quite a few. Boys will too. Lombardi will have some. We'll be back. Probably have some college basketball, some footy for sure.
Footy for the weekend. We got 12 on Saturday, 11 on Sunday.
Nick, is the hockey season still going tomorrow?
The season is not over.
Okay.
Come on, Tony.
So then there are a slate of games tomorrow. I think Vegas is actually back on the ice tomorrow.
Oh. Let's go Knights.
Let's go Knights, dude. No, fuck the Knights. Let's go Pens. Hey, hold on. Are the Pens dead?
No. Maybe.
Not with Jari.
They got one foot in the grave.
Yeah.
Is there not a goalie floating around in Pittsburgh on a deck hockey rink somewhere that can fucking play catch and stop the goddamn puck?
You would think.
Maybe Zeet.
Zeet.
I don't even have to move.
Zeet definitely did well against an NHL player, but.
Like Yokozuna in the net.
There's got to be some kid from Monroeville, Plum, Penn Hills over there that's over there in the deck. Fucking snagging pucks. Put him in a net, huh?
Nick?
No. It's a lot different. Most of those kids stink. That's why they're doing what they're doing. And we could try and pry Johnny Gibson out of Anaheim. He's a Pittsburgh guy.
He's actually playing well this year, too.
Yeah, very well.
I'm just saying, why does this guy stink so bad? What? How do you get to that? How are you on the greatest team to ever exist in hockey time? Playing on a team with the greatest player of all time, and you stink?
I got a kicker who's missed kicks. I don't know.
How old is he?
He's getting your head.
How old is he, kickers, Nick?
Jari, I think he's like 23, 24.
He's just a pop.
He's a young buck.
Real quick. Greatest team, greatest player. Normally kicker pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying here.
I think Suckup's going to miss a kick
on Sunday. Shit. You think he's going to miss it left, huh? He does hit that draw ball. He hits it low too, but he gets it off quick, so people don't get their hands up quick enough.
Maybe he hits a maybe he hits a field goal post.
Well, that's why whenever you said extra point hit an upright, if you know if that ball is moving at all, you can see how butt
every kick I've seen him hit this year is fucking just inside the post.
Well, he draws it every single time. He's a very interesting kicker. Him and Scobie at the end of Scobie's career kick very similar. It's kind of low.
Yeah, we know Scobie in Pittsburgh.
That was a good dude.
Always
good
dude.
Played golf. Always
goes awesome. Back. But you know,
hey, we met Scobie. Scobie is awesome, actually.
Yeah. Sure. Spent a lot of time on his golf game.
No matter what it is, it always ends up back at Pittsburgh. It's the best.
By the way, not enough people have talked about that throughout our entire careers and lives. But yes, Pittsburgh deserves a lot more credit and a lot of conversation.
A lot of things have been rolling through there.
But Scobie hits the ball low, but he got it off so quick at the end. Beginning of his career, he was a bomber, but at the end, he got it off so quick. Suckup does the same thing. I don't know. He's been kicking a long time. He was Mr. Irrelevant the year I was drafted.
Hey. Oh.
Pittsburgh.
Well, hey, good luck to them.
Shout out.
Good luck to us this weekend. We'll give you all of our picks tomorrow. Hammer.
Don.